Well, welcome to Table of Grace. I'm so glad that you're part of worship. And if you've not gotten a chance yet, please check in. If you're on our website, you can check in there. If you're on Facebook, you can like or comment. You can even share the worship, which is a great way to invite other people to worship with you. Because today we're looking at this passage of scripture in the book of Acts. It's all about ascension, because today is Ascension Sunday. It's a Sunday in which we observe that Jesus rose up to heaven after he was resurrected. And I believe that as we look at this passage in Acts, that this actually has a lot to speak to us during this time of quarantine and this time of waiting. And next week, we're going to do essentially a part two as we look at Pentecost Sunday, that Sunday in which God poured out his Holy Spirit on the disciples, and it was the birthday of the church. And Reverend Stephanie Reed Meyer will lead us in that conversation. But today, as we look at this passage in Acts, I want us to focus on this, and this is our main idea, that when we find ourselves waiting, wait for the gift. And so I want to share with you Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. So we're starting right at the beginning of the story. And it says this: "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' And then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or days the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you,'" and that's Pentecost, "'and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And after he said this, he was taken up before them," this is the ascension, "right before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Are we there yet? It's a question you've heard countless times if you've taken a road trip with children. And this past summer, we took a road trip with my family, and as we were going to Florida, which was a 15-hour drive, it seemed like every 10 minutes, one of my children was asking, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" I mean, it's a question that really is a mixture of excitement. We're so excited to get to our destination. We just can't wait. Are we there yet? It's also a question of boredom. Are we there yet? Because I'm tired of being in the car. I'm tired of being in this time. I'm ready to be at this destination. And to be completely honest, oftentimes when they would ask, I would feel the same way. I was so excited to be there, to be on vacation, to reach the destination, that when they would ask the question, I would think, I'm feeling the same way. Are we there yet? Because I was really looking forward to it. So I'm curious and would love for you to share something that you are looking forward to. Now, I know some people that they're looking forward to Christmas. The minute that the Christmas is over, December 26th, they've already started the countdown for next Christmas. I know many of our students that they were looking forward to the end of school year and the beginning of summer, and so now they're pretty excited. And for some of us, we're even looking forward to summer vacations, whatever that might look at like this year. We're excited. We're looking forward to it. We may even say, you know, are we there yet? It's a question we ask when we're excited. And even when we're in this season where we're in quarantine and maybe transitioning out to some extent, we may be thinking, are we there yet? Have we arrived? Is this over? Are we there yet? But when we find ourselves in this place where we're asking this question, are we there yet? We really can miss important moments along the way. And that's what I see in Book of Acts, chapter 1. Because the Book of Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Now, as Luke was writing the story of Jesus, then he wrote a part two, and we call it the Book of Acts. It's the Acts of the Apostles, or even the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And as I shared a couple weeks ago, as we looked at Acts chapter two, and you can find that message online on our website, as I shared that I remember the very first time that I read the Book of Acts. I was in high school, and I came to this place in the scriptures, and I thought, I want to read this book. I have no idea what's going on. And I was so excited to find out that this was the story of the apostles in it. And it really, it picks up right after the resurrection of Jesus as he is appearing to his disciples over a period of 400 days, 40 days. And then we know that he appeared to 500 people. It was over this period that Acts picks up and says, we want to continue this story. And it begins with this, in my former book, Theophilus. So who is Theophilus? Well, the name Theophilus means God lover. So Luke was writing to you as you read this book, and as you are a lover of God who want to know all that God has done and God continues to do through his disciples and those who follow Jesus, then this book was written to you. And that's what Luke wants us to see. And says, Theophilus, this is what Jesus was doing. And then this is what the disciples did as they followed Jesus and as God was empowering them and working through them. This is the story of God. From the moment on, this is God's story. So you are Theophilus, and he wants you to know this story. Luke does as he's writing to you. And he's saying, after the crucifixion of Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead and over 40 days appeared to his disciples. And as he did this, he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. That's what it tells us. And it says on one occasion that he was sharing a meal with his disciples, and he gave them this command to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the gift, which of course prompted a question from the disciples in verse 6. This says they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Which makes me wonder, if you could ask Jesus any question, you're sharing a meal with Jesus, and you could ask him any question, what would you ask him? Now, when I think about this occasion, and I'm thinking about the resurrected Jesus, then I think I want to ask Jesus, what was it like to be resurrected? We don't have a lot of those details in our scripture. It says you were dead and then you were alive. What was it really like for you to be resurrected? Or I would ask him, in many of your appearances, you're walking into rooms with locked doors. What was it like to walk through a door? Or maybe Jesus, whenever we see you sharing meals, you're eating fish. Do you even really like fish? I mean, these are maybe some of these other questions that I would like to ask Jesus. And I'd love for you to share some questions that you would like to ask as well. But when the disciples get their opportunity, this is a question they want to ask Jesus. Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Essentially, they're asking, are we there yet? Because over the last 3 years as they followed Jesus, they've had this expectation and this excitement that Jesus was the king that was going to restore Israel, which he was, but they had in mind that Jesus was going to be a king who would take the throne of David and throughout the Romans and all those who were oppressing the people, that this was going to be it, the new golden age of Israel. And as they entered into that last week and they're shouting Hosanna, that this is the time that Jesus was going to be king, and this is what everyone was shouting. As they got to the end of the week and Jesus was crucified and he was buried, all their hopes and dreams were crucified and buried with him. But then he rose from the dead and he gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. And so they're asking, are we there yet? Is this the time in which you are going to restore your kingdom? Is all of this over? Is this the moment? Is this the moment? And this is what Jesus responds to them in verse 7. He says to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. He says, I'm not going to tell you when. It's not for you to know. We kind of wonder, Jesus, do you not want to answer their question? But he does. But this is the response that he gives them in verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Jesus tells them that they are to wait. but they're to wait for something that really they cannot even comprehend. It, when they had the chance to ask Jesus a question, they didn't even ask, okay, what do you mean by the Holy Spirit's going to come? And yeah, you've been telling us the Holy Spirit's going to come, but what do you mean by this? They didn't even ask that, but Jesus was answering them. You are to wait for the gift. But as you do that, this waiting is not wasted time. This waiting is not wasted time. Because so often when you and I find ourselves in this period of waiting, we want to know, when will we reach the destination? And Jesus is focusing not on the destination, not on the when, but on the what. He's saying you're asking the wrong question when you're asking when. But you should instead focus on the what. But you are to wait because God's going to send his Holy Spirit and do something you can't even ask or imagine. But here's the part you're going to play. You're going to be a witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and to Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Can you even comprehend all that God wants to do through you? Wait for the gift. Because you're going to see and experience and really witness the very kingdom of God that they were asking about. Jesus is saying, it's not a question of when, but of what, because then you're going to see and experience it in all that you do. That God is going to come upon you with power, with dynamos, with the explosive power of God. You're going to do and see the incredible things as God's grace comes upon you as you go to a broken and hurting world. You're going to see and experience the kingdom of God if only you won't focus on when, but you will focus on what. If you will see that God is at work. And something extraordinary, wait for the gift. You see, all the hopes and dreams of the disciples were wrapped up in destination. Yet Jesus was leading them into transformation. They wanted no destination, but Jesus was saying, you're going to be transformed. Don't focus on destination, focus on transformation. And as he tells them this, he says that he then ascended into heaven and the clouds hid him. And then in verse 9, it's so amazing how this little section of story ends. But as they watched Jesus ascend, it says this, that they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And then suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. And this is what they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky?" But they're still focused on Jesus. And these angels say to them, these men say to them, Jesus already told you what to do. Just as Jesus went up, he's going to come down. But he already told you. He gave you the command. Go and wait for the gift because God has something planned in store. And he's telling them this, that even as they wait, the waiting is not wasted time. Waiting is not wasted time. That they're not just supposed to wait and on Jesus to come back, but they're supposed to do the very things that Jesus commanded and invited them to do. That while they were waiting, this is what they did as we see the rest of verse 1, that the disciples then go and they're not just wasting their time, but then they go and they choose the next member of their 12 disciples, that they spend time in prayer that leads them to this moment in which God pours out his Holy Spirit on them. That they were not just wasting this time when they were waiting, but they're preparing for what is to come. Now for you and I, we're continuing in this season of quarantine, the season of waiting, waiting for quarantine to end. That's what we're all in. But for many of us, we're in different seasons of waiting. Maybe we're in a season in which we're waiting to see if a relationship works out or gets better. Maybe we're in this season of we're really waiting for our next job and career path to open up. And especially in this time in which we're all experiencing this pandemic and we're just like, I can't wait for the season to be over that's holding everything up. And maybe we're even in this season of waiting where we're waiting on school in the fall and we're wondering what school might look like. But whatever it is, we can all find ourselves in this season of waiting. If you're not in one now, you will be at some point in your life. And the question for us is will we see this gift of waiting while we wait for the gift that will come? Because waiting is not wasted time. as we were going in our road trip, that I would oftentimes remind myself and then remind my children as they would say, are we there yet? I would say, you know, take in the sights. Look where you are. You've never been to a place like this. And it may be a while before you're ever here again. Like, you don't want to miss everything that's going on around you. And when we stop, you don't want to waste that time. You want to take it all in. This is a unique moment. And we don't just want to hurry through it, but we want to see the sights as we go, as we wait for the gift. Now, I had a few Table of Grace members share with me some stories that I want to share with you, and they gave me permission to share them. Because as they wait for the gift to come, that we may not even know the gift that will come. For the disciples, it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a time that transformed them and gave birth to the church. But for us, it could very well be something similar. There could be a time that so completely transforms us. It could be something that is more than we could ask or imagine. But we wait for that gift. But as we wait, that this is a season in which God is preparing for us, and we can see little glimpses of the good that God is doing while we wait. These little glimpses of gifts while we wait. And so I want to share some of these. And this is from Chris Alexander. She sent me this email, and this is what she says. She says, my water exercise classes were canceled during COVID-19. But the Plano Parks and Recreation Department decided to put some exercise videos on their Facebook page. So Jim and I learned how to make videos, edit them, and post them on YouTube. A skill we would have never thought to acquire before. But God has provided an opportunity to learn new things. And I have 3 exercise videos posted with more than 200 views so far. And this was April 17th. So Chris, I bet you have more views now. And another, this is from Dallas Armstrong. She writes this. She says, I agree deeply with this idea of not just getting through this time. I agree that we need to take a moment and consider what we will remember and how we have grown during this unprecedented pause. And she says, my family is thriving. The parenting opportunities have been rich and frequent. And she shares that one of their children is learning not to fuss in their crib and how to regulate their big responses, and consequently have many more positive play times with brother and sister. Another one of her children is learning to sleep through the night. And she shares that her husband, that they're working out constantly. They're filling their free time and learning to have less evening screen time and feeling, and I love this, deliciously tired at the end of their days, and are going to bed at the same time each night. And she goes on to share that they're using this opportunity to even have an occasion to pray together more as husband and wife. And so when I think about these examples, and I know there's so many, I want to invite you to share. If you have an example of these gifts in these moments, these gifts that for you, you may be even previews of the gift to come, that as you wait for the gift, that these could be the very things that God is beginning to prepare you for what's next. I want to invite all of us that as we are in the season of waiting, to wait for the gift. That maybe we think, are we there yet? And maybe it's a question of excitement, or maybe it's a question of boredom. It's a question of thinking, I'm ready for this season, whatever season you might find yourself in, that you're ready for the season to be over. I want to invite you to read and to think about these words. As Jesus says to his disciples, you've seen amazing things. I've given you many convincing proofs, but here's my command, to wait for the gift, because God wants to do something extraordinary in and through you that will touch the whole world. So today, whatever season you might find yourself in, I invite you to make the most of this season, to see the gifts all around you, and to wait in those moments where you think, are we there yet? Wait for that gift. Seek God for that gift. Use this season as a time of preparation, a time of prayer, and say, God, I'm ready for this gift you want to offer to me.